Well, now, this story talks about talents, but what is a talent anyway? My study Bible says that a talent was worth a year's wages for a laborer. If we think of a laborer as someone who is what we would today call unskilled, menial, you might say, well, that's somebody who probably makes about $7 an hour. Assuming that they worked a full 2,000 hour year, that would be about $14,000. A talent today might be worth something along the lines of $14,000. That's a lot of money. So the slave who was given five talents was given, what, about $70,000 to invest? That's a chunk of change. Yeah, we could do some stuff with that, couldn't we? Sure. And the one who was given two talents, that would have been about $28,000. That's still a good piece of cash. And the one who received one talent, $14,000. Well, you know, with $14,000, you could make some investments. You might actually make, you know, a pretty good return on that too. But that's not the point. The point is not how much money. The point is, what do we do with it? I think there's a reason why they use the amount of money called a talent here, because we in our language refer to talents as skills, as abilities. It's the same word, but it means something a little different. It's not an amount of money, but it is a skill or an ability by which we may be able to make money or be able to do things. Some people have a talent for finance. Some people have a talent for art. Some people have a talent for poetry. Some people have a talent for music. That's not my talent. But I'm always impressed when other people can do those things. And we look at people and say, well, he's very talented. She's very talented. Or someone is particularly talented in some particular area. We take note of that. We see them as being skilled, as being valuable and being valued. So what about us? What talents do we have? What talents do we use? How do we use them? What have we been given? What blessings, what abilities, what skills, what talents has God given us? And how do we use them, not just for ourselves, but for the Lord? Because they, after all, are a gift from God. We don't think of our strength as being a gift from God. We think of that as something we get from working out. We don't think of our intelligence as a gift from God. We think of that as something that we have educated. We don't think of our ability to do woodworking or some of these other things as a gift from God. Those are things we developed with practice and with, you know, the opportunity to work with other people who knew what they were doing. But all of these things are gifts from God. God gives us the opportunity to learn, the opportunity to exercise, the opportunity to do all of these things. We don't appreciate those things until we run into somebody who does not have them. A friend of mine recently went to a concert at a friend's church, and the concert was given by a young lady who has MS. The only things that she can move are her mouth and one arm very slightly. And yet, she gives that talent that she has for music to God and travels the country singing for His glory. What an amazing testament of faith. Someone who has lost the ability to do all the normal things that we think of as being necessary in their lives, left with just one talent, yet she uses it for the glory of God and for His kingdom. Now that to me is a wonderful testimony. What if the slave who only had one talent had done everything he could to use it to glorify his master? There wouldn't have been, as the scripture says, weeping and gnashing of teeth. There would have been glory and joy and wonder that even a slave so poor in his abilities that he was only entrusted with one talent could still do wonderful things with it. We are equal in the sight of God, but we are certainly not equal in the world. We have different talents. We have different abilities. We have been blessed with different things. We have different opportunities. We are, each of us, unique, different, wonderful individuals. But if we don't use what we have in such a way to glorify Him, to glorify His kingdom, to express our love for Him, to show our joy in the things that we have been given, then when we ask Him to forgive us, how can He know how much we care? What about our church? What talents do we as a church have? Are we using those talents for God? Or are we just using what we have for ourselves? I have been in many, many meetings in the last few weeks, talked about goals for the church, talked about what we wanted to accomplish in the future, talked about what we could do and how we could do it. And I found myself feeling very, very frustrated. We have so much, and yet we act as though we have so little. We are greatly blessed. We have many people with many talents. We have many people with many abilities. We have financial worth. We have the opportunity to do many things. We're in a wonderful place, and yet we don't use them. We don't do what we could do. We don't reach out to those we could reach out to. We don't help other people the way we could help other people. We are not an example that people look to as a place to go for help. We are afraid. Just as the slave was afraid of the master and his abilities, we are afraid that people want to take away from us what we have, that people want to close the church, that we're going to die. And as long as we have that fear, we're right. This church is dying. Our fear is killing us. Our trying to hold on to what we have, like the slave who buried his talent so he would be sure to be able to give it back to the master, we're going to lose the very things that we think, we say, we care so much about. If we don't reach out to other people, what will be here when we're gone? Nothing. If we don't reach out in love, what will people know of this church? Nothing. If we don't open the doors to the people who are in need, what will people think of the church? That the doors are locked. When they come looking for help, the doors are locked. Is that who we want to be? Is that how we want to use those things that God has given us? Is that what we want to show to the world? A locked door, a closed hand, a hard heart, fear. Are Christians people who are afraid? I thought Christians were supposed to be people who were victorious. I thought Christians were supposed to be people who were generous. I thought Christians were supposed to be people who loved. And yet, we seem to be people who are afraid. We're afraid we're going to lose what we have. Better that we should lose all we have than to lose our souls. Better that the church should be torn down, that one person should be turned away. Better that none of this be here when we're gone than that those people who need us to serve them should have no service. Are we like the slave with one talent? Are we burying what we have in the ground? Are we hiding it from the world? Are we afraid? I'm afraid that we are afraid. until we can step out in faith, we'll continue to die. Won't be quick. Won't be flashy. Won't be exciting. It just will be slow. Painful. We'll get smaller. We'll have fewer people. There'll be less to do with. We'll get more afraid. We'll hold on even tighter. We'll be more stingy. We'll be more concerned. We'll be more worried. We'll be trying to figure out how we can do and maintain what we have with what little we have to work with. All because what we have was supposed to be given in service for Him who gave it to us. If we don't give it to those in need, then we haven't given it to Him who gave it to us. If we don't serve others, we haven't served Him. If we don't care about other people, we don't care about the one who made them. Our Father is their Father too. If we do indeed hallow His name, if we do praise His name, if we do believe in His name and call ourselves by His name, then when people come to us, they're coming to Him. We're going to turn away. We're going to lock the door. We're going to say, no, we don't do that. Look in your hearts. Are you afraid? If you're afraid of losing what you have, then maybe what you have needs to be given away so it's not holding you down anymore. If we're afraid of losing what we have, then perhaps we're valuing the wrong things. Because the thing that we should value above all is the love of God. He who says, fear not, for I am with you, even until the end of the universe. We have nothing to fear, because He's promised us victory over sin and death. We have nothing to fear, because He's promised to be with us. We have nothing to fear, because all of this stuff that we are so concerned with is stuff of this world. And if we have Him in our hearts, then we have a whole other life, a whole other world promised to us as heirs of His kingdom, as heirs in the tradition of His Son, as heirs of His love. How can we be afraid? How can we hide our talent under a rock, in a hole in the ground, in a church with a locked door, when He asks us to serve Him? Amen.